Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Meantime, Andy Moore, Automotive Group Hotline, CBS 4 and Fox 59. It is Mike Chappell who now joins us. So I had somebody that has been reading the internet that suggested...
Well, that's one problem right there, but go ahead.
That suggested that from what he has read, that the Colts will definitely be investigated for not following NFL hiring protocols if Jim Irsay decides on Jeff Saturday, and that he was very happy with Carly so far because she has been a voice in the room that has suggested they need to move on from Jeff Saturday. So with that intel, I allow you to do whatever you would like to do with it.
Well, first let me reach over here and reach for my BS button and push it, because that's that's bull. You know, a lot of people, one way or the other, won't be happy, satisfied, whatever, with whatever the team decides to do. But to say they've not done what they need to do is ridiculous. It just is. If they have five or six or eight candidates where they have a second interview and they stack these resumes up, and Jim Irsay says, "Yeah, I like Jeff Saturday," you can bitch and moan and all that, and be very valid at doing it. But they will have done their due diligence. They will. And we'll all question to some degree who they settle on a lot more than other guys, you know, the criticism. They have not shirked their duties. They've done what they need to do. They will have satisfied every, you know, detail of the Rooney Rule. They will. Do you think Carolina is going to catch hell for going with Frank after the job that Steve Wilks did? Of course they will. There was already something on Twitter about some law firm that is really heavy into the Rooney Rule and the way it's not, you know, adhered to. They are already putting something out on the internet that, you know, this is wrong. Okay, well, this is different. This is different. This will simply be, well, no, it won't be. It'll be the same thing. It'll be an owner going through the interview process and hiring the guy he wants. That's we've talked about this. That's what an owner does. That's one of the privileges that comes along with being a billionaire and owning a football team, a company, whatever. That's what you do. You may not agree with it. And again, some decisions are going to call more criticism than others, but he's going to hire who he wants to hire, and we can complain about it, but that's the way it is. But again, not following the rules and all this, that is ridiculous. It's not true. But in the end, let's just get this over with, because as we've talked before, the internet is really good because it gets information out there quickly, and it's really bad because it gets bad information out there really quickly. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword, and that's the world we live in.
Well, Mike Chappell joins us on the Andy Moore Automotive Group Hotline. I saw a report earlier today by somebody named Jordan Schultz. Again, not dismissing the fact that maybe he's got intel. In this case, he says that the number one choice for the Colts and Jim Irsay, in this case for Jim Irsay, remains Jeff Saturday, while others in the Colts front office prefer different leading candidates. And I think we can all go ahead and come to the conclusion that Chris Ballard would prefer not Jeff Saturday, didn't prefer him at the beginning, certainly doesn't right now. And this tweet goes on to suggest that he's told it's presented by his staff other choices, and part of the staff, and it doesn't specify who that might be, is trying to talk Jim Irsay out of the whole Jeff Saturday angle here. So,
well, remember, and there is truth to the fact that a lot of people tried to talk the owner out of naming Jeff the interim coach.
Right.
That's true. I don't know. But one thing that I'm pretty good at my job, and most of the guys that all the guys that cover the team also are, and we've all tried to get locally that tidbit of information. You know, who are you talking to when? And it's really a tight-lipped group right now, from the owner to Chris Ballard to all these guys. If somebody's got a mole out there, God love them. I just know how Chris Ballard runs things. He, to my knowledge, has not leaked stuff nationally. Now, somebody can point that out to me. You know, he's given local guys things. As a GM, really, it's the way it should be done, just because. But I don't know that this regime and even this owner leaks things willy-nilly nationally. And I've not seen anyone else, all the big hitters, you know, the Rapoports and Pelisseros and Schefters and all those guys, I've not seen that at that level. Now, if somebody's got a friend whose wife is a secretary and they hear this, okay, go, you know, good for you. I don't have that. So, and I'm not dismissing what these guys who I don't follow or have seen put out there, because I don't know. And if they feel good throwing stuff against the wall using "I've heard that" or "a source said," fine. Whenever I use source, I know who the hell it is. And whenever I retweet somebody who uses source, I don't know who their source is, but I know who that person is. And I trust that person to not be a guy that just throws stuff on the wall and hope he gets like 3 out of 10 right. So, that's to me the problem with the internet, is it gives voices, giving voices to people. That's great. But it's when somebody reports or somebody tweets that "I've heard that," and then somebody uses that tweet and says, "Well, it's been reported that the Colts..." No, that's not a report. That's just stuff. And when you start regurgitating stuff that has no legitimate foundation, that's where things go kind of, you know, off base. That's why I say that the sooner they get this done, the better. And I just, for the life of me, I just don't, I can't talk myself in to Jeff Saturday being the head coach of this team. I just can't. Yet I know that it's possible, but because of everything you've talked about and we've talked about. So I hope they get this wrapped up this next week. And the only way that it won't get wrapped up next week is if they really want one of the coordinators that are still, you know, involved. For the enemies and those guys, and that's going to be after the Super Bowl.
Do you still believe that Jim Irsay still likes Jeff Saturday for the gig as much as he has, despite all the counter arguments that are out there, the fans banding together and putting together a petition, all the stuff that has been centralized to Jim Irsay via social media so he would have the best opportunity to see it and the fans get their voice in? Do you think that Jim likes Jeff as much as what we had been told and knew that he did prior to where we are right now?
Yeah, I don't know what Jeff did that would have surprised the owner. I mean, he took over a bad situation. What did you expect? Now they went against the Raiders, and they really should have won 2 more games, at least 3. I mean, the record could have been better. Yeah, it should have been better. I mean, you should have beaten Pittsburgh, Philly, certainly make a stop and you win, and make a stop against Houston and you win. But that doesn't change. That changes the bottom line resume, but it doesn't change how much of trouble this franchise is in. But having said that, with the resume being what it is, I don't know what the owner – I don't know what would have swayed the owner's mind. If anything, a better record would have hardened him to the fact that Jeff's the right guy. And what I'm curious to know, and we never will, is it's obvious that Chris Ballard was not in favor of Jeff as the interim coach. I mean, he told us that. He said, you know, he said, "Hey, listen, this is unprecedented and all this." I'm wondering if he is as – opposed, and I'm betting he is, to, okay, if we put him in place in February, he's got the entire offseason to put his fingerprints on this team. I don't think that would change, because I think Chris Bowers is enough of a hardened football guy to realize that when you start comparing resumes and expectations, other guys are simply going to be better options. But I can't get a gauge on whether this fan revolt thing, if you start listening, yes, you take into account the fans because that's your lifeblood and all this, but does anyone really think that if he hires Jeff Saturday, there's not going to be a full house at Lucas Oil next year? It will. It just will. Now, it'll depend on how good or how bad the team is. It will. And you're liable to see a downturn in season tickets to some degree. But I just don't know that. I just can't believe that the owners going to say, oh, my goodness, I can't hire Jeff because of this.
I think just as easily it could fortify how Jim feels about Jeff.
Exactly. You think you're going to tell me what you're going to do? I'll show you what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. It could have the opposite effect on it. So, but again, I'm glad fans do that. And he doesn't need a fan poll to say, hey, I'm going to really take heat for this. He knows he will. He knows he will. And I think there's something to the fact that the more people tell you not to do something, you're like that 10-year-old. You know, don't do that. Well, he's going to go and do it. So I think there is something to that, but it's a really, really bad sign to me when an owner gives one of the votes in the process to the fans. That's, you know, they did that in the Pro Bowl and that didn't work out very well. So I think it's important to keep the fans in mind, but not to give me direction on how I make decisions.
And again, and I brought this up before, and you kind of just did, because I was always curious going back to when Jeff was hired in the first place, if maybe Chris had presented an option of, hey, let's let somebody else handle this, and then, as you mentioned, start fresh.
Right.
And if you want to go completely outside the box with Jeff Saturday as you're going, then at least there's a clean slate and not going on right now what you're going on. Do you think that was ever discussed? Do you think Chris ever presented that to Jim as an option when he knew that Jim was hell-bent on hiring Jeff Saturday on an interim basis?
Only if he thought that would delay the decision. Then it would give him more time to talk the owner out of it as a permanent head coach. And again, I really don't think, just knowing Chris and how he looks at an organization, I don't know how he can sit there at night and talk himself into Jeff Saturday being the best candidate. And again, all of this comes off as just really piling on Jeff Saturday. And I wish that wasn't the case. He was put in an impossible situation. He was. But it would just be hard for me to see Chris saying, okay, you know, maybe this will work if we give him the fresh start and let him start from ground one. Because, you know, one thing that I'm really kind of going back and forth on is, in my mind, maybe Dan Quinn is the best coach possibility. He's done it before. I kind of like the idea of a guy having a chance to learn from your mistakes. And he had success in Atlanta until he didn't.
Are you just jumping on the bandwagon with me?
No, because...
No, just tell everybody that, because that would be the first time anybody's ever said that.
We're always on that same island together. But at the same time, yeah. My concern with that is I would almost rather want to have one of the Philly or the Cincy coordinator, because then I know that my quarterback I draft in April is going to have a great hand to lead him forward. And there's no question about that. If you bring in one of these defensive guys or special teams guys, he's got to build his staff. And you're going to have to trust that new head coach can get that staff together. But you're not going to rate other team staffs for known, proven guys. You're going to have to trust that guy can bring in that next great quarterback coach or coordinator who you think he can do it, but you don't know. Because I said last week, I think to you and I've been saying it, is the quarterback decision is more important than the coach. And you darn well better have a guy in place on that staff, either the head coach or the coordinator, who knows what he's doing. He's done it. You don't hope he can do it. You know he's done it before. That's why, at least if I go with an offensive coordinator as my head coach, I know but that won't be a problem. The offense and a quarterback with one of these other guys who are so many of them are qualified, including D'Amico Ryans. They're qualified, but who are they bringing with them? Who's their staff? You don't raid other teams' staffs. Other teams aren't going to let their coordinators go for a parallel job. So that's my main concern. That's why, as much as I like a Dan Quinn, I prefer an offensive coordinator.
It's up. Yeah. Dan Quinn is with me, A number one right here. Mike Chappell's on the Andy Moore Automotive Group hotline with us. I was curious this thought because a lot had been made, critically speaking, from fans, for example, social media-wise, and even those that do sports talk, have suggested that, well, you know, Jeff's trying to get all his buddies. I know that Greg Doyle has a column about it as well, trying to get all his buddies and broadcast him to back him up on this. While that, I'm sure, is true, because I've heard bits and pieces of that as well, if there is something that is unsurprising as that, I don't know what it might be. Because, honestly, I think all these guys, to a degree, do that, and they certainly would do that if they had the background and the network around him. I don't mean ESPN. I just mean the network of friends around him, as Jeff Saturday has.
No, and that is what you do. This is a little more overt. I mean, when Dan Orlovsky put that stuff out there, I thought, really? And then I think,
but you look at it, you almost being, like, it's almost a bad look, though, because you go, wait a minute, that's not even good.
I mean, well, because he wants to be probably his, right, his offensive coordinator or whatever. And then, too, what were two of the things? They had a lead in the first quarter or halftime, whatever, in three or four, five. Serious? That's what you're – and that overshadows 33 points in the fourth quarter at Dallas, or the blowing the 33 lead at Minnesota. So, yeah, but I'm not surprised. That's kind of what you do. I guess – you try to do it without letting people know you're doing it. You know, you get some national guy to put, and I'm not talking Orlovsky, I'm talking someone else who puts things out there. But again, it's so hard to come up with information to say, and this is why this is how they got better. Yeah, their running game got a little bit better on yards per game. Yes, they did. And they lost their last seven games in a season for the first time since 1953. I mean, holy smokes.
Yeah, he might. You know this very well. Bill Polian always wanted his word, his voice out there.
Correct.
Whether it was Chris Mortensen or the late, great John Clayton. You know, I remember with the Manning neck injury, it was immediate after that. He came out with, you know, this is wrong, and he went to his go-tos. These guys want their voice, and you know they want to try to control the message. And if you have those ways and means, that would not surprise me at all. And I guess I was a little taken about how surprising others thought it was.
Yeah, that's what they do now. When you get the job, let's say Jeff gets the job, well then you really can't be going to all your buddies in the media and doing things. That's one thing that when Chris got here, and then with Frank, even you reinforce it, is it wasn't every other week we're seeing things leaked to the media and we're reacting to it, and this is not me getting PO'd at the national guys for getting it. It's how they got it. It's not because they really worked that hard. It's because that GM or whatever wanted the information out there, and they didn't want the local guys to get it. And to a big level, when the new GM got here, Jim Irsay put an end to it. I think Chris might have anyway. But the owner did not like the fact that things were getting out there. And I think some people have been let go from the franchise who were leaking information. I believe that.
Yeah, yes, I do too.
I believe that too. In my heart. So, but
yes.
Yeah, it's such a different media world now. It's good and bad, and I really like the idea that the fans have a voice on Twitter, but goodness gracious, that doesn't mean that the team listens to them, because I know some of the people on Twitter and I wouldn't listen to them. That's just me.
So what happens with Frank gets the gig today in Carolina, the next head coach? You brought that up a little bit earlier. Some that could slide with him that was a part of the staff here.
Gus?
I said Parks Frazier, right?
Probably. we were joking.
Bubba Ventrone?
That's a good question. That's a good, because yes, and Bubba could be a little bit PO'd over not getting the interim job here. So yes, a very serious. And again, if the new coach comes in, he may want his entire new staff.
Right.
You know, we were joking, the Colts guys, we keep in touch. You know, what about Reggie? I'm thinking Reggie might stay on that beach, wherever he's at. I don't know that he wants to be that vagabond assistant coach. I don't know. I'm not speaking for that. I've spoken with Reggie, but if he would stay in the coaching business and Frank wants him, he would be in Carolina, because Frank really treasured Reggie's input and how he worked with those guys. I wouldn't be surprised if Reggie would go to Carolina or the beach. He's not going anywhere else. And I'd be surprised if he stays here. I just would. He doesn't like cold, you know, at all.
Did you take anything from that tweet about what he said? I think it was this weekend, of this coaching stuff being more cutthroat than any other player stuff.
I saw that. And again, I've talked to Reggie a lot, and he's one of my all time favorites, he and Edgerrin. But and this isn't meant to be a slam, I've always thought Reggie enjoyed the thought of being a coach than being a coach, because he loves working with players and he's good at it. But I think he'd love to have that job if he could leave it like 4 in the afternoon and then have the rest of the night to himself. But because it's long hours. It's long-ass hours. I mean, he was talking about how he goes in the office and leaves, and it's dark. You know, when he gets there and he leaves, but he's so good at it. I don't know if that's enough. If how good he was at it, if that'll convince him to keep doing it, was it reinforced that, yeah, you know, it is a lot of hours, and I don't know if I want to commit to that again. But it'll be Reggie's call. I think Reggie will have a chance to keep doing this. Certainly now that Frank's back in the league, I think that may be one of Frank's first calls. Well, he probably can't do that because Reggie is still employed by the Colts. But I think with Reggie, I think it's either Carolina or some South Florida beach.
Yeah, kind of wanted the same thing as well, especially after that tweet last weekend, the way the season went. Kind of wonder that. All right, we'll see. They'll pare it down, and we'll see what direction they end up going.
But you think when we talk next week at this time they'll have a coach or not?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Well, if it isn't, then it won't be someone still playing.
Yeah.
And they will have satisfied the Rooney Rule as far as what you got to do. So if they want to hire your guy Dan Quinn and my sort of guy Dan Quinn, they can do it.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder. I think maybe by this time next week. That's what I was thinking. I could be wrong. Could be completely wrong. Maybe they wait until they can get everybody in. But
well, again, you can't talk to D'Amico Ryans until the Niners are done. So what I'd like to know is, when he canceled that interview last week, did he do it because it was too much on his plate before the Dallas game, or did he decide, yeah, I don't want Indy?
Yeah, he's going to Houston, right? He'll end up at Houston because of the connections there.
Yep.
So
we'll see. It just keeps us looking and waiting and watching.
No doubt about that. Hey, I appreciate you. We'll stay after it, see what happens as always. Mike, thank you very much.
Talk to you next week.
It's Mike Chappell of CBS 4 and Fox 59.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Andy Moore, Automotive Group Hotline. Rob Blackman, the voice of the Boilermakers, joins us. I thought this was a perfect segue. When's the last time you saw Kingpin?
One of my all-time favorite movies, but to be honest, I don't know that I've seen it in the last 10 years, but I am a fan of Kingpin. Yes,
there
I am.
There you go. Great, great bowling references. Great Amish references, and being down around Amish country, as I am in southern and southwestern Indiana, always solid, no doubt. Always a watch, always a laugh, so... Got to see it again. 10 years, that's way too long. Although, I got to remember, you don't do too much movie watching like that, do you? You don't have a lot of time to watch the old school stuff. You're out and about.
I've, lately, John, within the last 4 or 5 years, I've become a big binge watcher of, you know, different series that hop out on Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
Oh, really?
It might be.
What's the latest?
Oh, boy, the latest. I've actually, The White Lotus, which I know is pretty popular right now. I've just gotten into that one. So that would be the one I'm on currently. Peaky Blinders is a huge favorite of mine. So, yeah, those are just a couple. But White Lotus is the one. My wife actually turned me on to that one. So that's the one I'm most interested in right now.
I was watching White Lotus. I'm going to tell you what. What's her name? Aubrey Plaza?
Oh,
Aubrey Plaza, does it? It may do a little something for the guy, the old man sitting right here. I like Aubrey Plaza.
I remember her in Parks and Rec. And then Jennifer Coolidge. Jennifer Coolidge is just, I don't know, I've always been a huge fan of hers. So,
you believe that's how she went out, though? Can you believe she went out that way? Falling off the boat.
Let's not ruin it for everyone, John.
I'm trying not to, but I can't help myself. It's funny. I started watching White Lotus and liked it. And here's the other one I watched, and I don't really like that because it's about high school kids, and it absolutely scares the crap out of me. Euphoria.
Oh, now that's a new one on me.
Oh, I'm man. Not familiar with that one. With Zendaya, the artist and actress. Yeah. And the dude that plays the drug dealer, I think his name's Angus Cloud, the actor, plays Fez. That is a good show, but as somebody that's got teenagers in the house like you do, that scares the crap out of me watching it.
Which means I will not be watching it, so thank you for the heads up.
You are going to watch the Boilermakers coming up later on tonight. I know everybody got up there a little bit early because of the weather situation. And it's funny, one possession games turning into one possession wins. We talked about that mostly on the road. That happened last time out for Purdue at home against Maryland. What makes this team so good in the clutch?
Yeah, good question. I don't know if I have the proper answer. Maybe the fact that Purdue's just so much better defensively this year than they were a year ago. Look at last year's team in the one possession losses. And not frankly, not just the one possession losses, the heartbreaking buzzer beating bank shot losses, that two of them, both Rutgers and Wisconsin, if either one of those shots don't go in, Purdue's a Big Ten champion last year. So it kind of feels, maybe I say defense, maybe it's more like karma. Maybe karma's catching up to Purdue because Purdue had no luck in that category last year. And now for whatever reason, Purdue's had an awful lot of luck this season, but Purdue's just so much better defensively. You know, and Matt Painter, he actually mentioned this on the coach's radio show Monday night. You know, he's talking about how bad this team was defensively last year, that from a coaching staff standpoint, they eventually just kind of threw their hands up in the air and said, all right, we're just going to try to outscore everybody because we know we're not going to stop anybody, so let's just try to outscore everybody. And Purdue was very good offensively last year, number one or two in the nation all year in adjusted offensive efficiency. But Purdue couldn't get any stops defensively. And so when you're in a late-game situation, one-possession game, and you're on the defensive end, that's not a great place to be, knowing that you can't get stops to begin with. So Purdue has been able to come up with those stops, at least to this point in the season, in these close one-possession games. The great irony is, that, you know, the one game, the only loss last year where Purdue got blown out, where Purdue did not have a chance, where it did not come down to the final 60 seconds of the game, was right here in Michigan. If you remember, they beat us, I think, 82-58 or 84-58. Could have been worse. Hell, could have been 35 points if they wanted to. I mean, they were just kicked our tails last year. So that was the only game of all those games last year where you felt like, man, we never had a chance. That was the one game here at Michigan last season. So a bit of irony that here we are again this year. Last year we came up here, we ranked number 3. And had just beaten them. You know, had beaten them like 5 days earlier at Mackey Arena. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves and just, like I said, just got whooped from start to finish. So here we are again. But to answer your original question, probably the fact that Purdue's better defensively gives you a little bit better chance to win in those late one-possession type games because you know you can come up with a stop.
And they're doing it, too, with freshman guards out front, which is incredibly impressive. Rob Blackman, voice of the Boilermakers, with us. Hunter Dickinson and Zach Edey, what do you make of that matchup, and especially the issues that Hunter Dickinson can cause when he steps out and takes Edie away from the basket as he can.
Yeah, and we saw that last year, both here and at Mackey Arena. For whatever reason, Hunter Dickinson has always played well against Purdue. I cannot think of him one time having a bad game against us. And one of the reasons is he is able to bring those bigger guys like Zach Edey out on the perimeter and shoot the open three-point shot. And he's a pretty good three-point shooter for a guy that stands 7 feet one. I mean, this season he's 40%, I think, John, 40% from three. I mean, now he doesn't take a lot of them, but he's certainly more than capable. And I think his numbers in Big Ten play, if you just look at the Big Ten only, it's like 45 or 46% from three, which that's a remarkable number for a guy that stands 7 foot one. So that is going to be a matchup concern tonight. And that's where Hunter's really gotten us in the past couple of years. Yeah, and it didn't even, you know, with a guy like Travion Williams, who would guard him sometimes last year, same thing. Travion, a much more agile defender at 6 foot 10, but still was not able to cover Hunter Dickinson on the three-point line. So we'll have that concern again tonight. I would not be surprised if you see Caleb first on Hunter Dickinson more often than Zach Edey, just because Caleb, you know, at 6 foot 10 does move a heck of a lot better and smoothly than does Zach. I know the national narrative is this is Zach Edey versus Hunter Dickinson type game, but I'm not quite so sure those two guys are going to end up guarding each other that often, especially if, you know, there's a chance Michigan's going to play big tonight. They'll play Terrace Reed, their 6'10 freshman, with Dickinson, which they've done a little bit this year. They played the two big guys in the same lineup. I would not be surprised if they did that against us. And if they do, a little insider tip for those who will be watching tonight, my guess is we'll put Zach on Reed, because that'll be a better matchup for Purdue. But yeah, Hunter Dickinson, Purdue won that game last year at Mackey Arena, but that was in spite of Hunter Dickinson, because he played awesome that game. So he's a matchup problem for us for sure, and he always has been, and I have no reason to believe he won't be again tonight.
So Rob Blackman's with us. A part of that great balance that Matt Painter has with his team is being able to do just that with a guy like Caleb first.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of teams that are capable. I mean, maybe a team like Arizona stands out, you know, as far as, bigger guy type of quality is concerned. But, Rob, not a lot of guys are capable of being that versatile if they don't want their big guy to have to go out and chase somebody that is equally or close to as big but can shoot it from three-point range.
Yeah, and that certainly helps give Purdue some real versatility on the defensive end. Now, Matt Painter will tell you, and he talks about this all the time, we have to be able to flip it on these guys when we're on offense. When Purdue's on offense tonight, you know, that ball has to go inside early and often to Zach Edey, especially if Hunter Dickinson is on him, because you have to try to, you know, at least make Hunter work a little bit on the defensive end, maybe try to wear him down that way. You know, we so often as fans, and I'm as guilty as anyone, we get so concerned about the defensive matchup for Purdue and, who's going to guard Hunter and who's going to do this and that on the defensive end. We often forget, you know, the great advantage for Purdue is they can flip it on you on the other end and score offensively with Zach Edey and getting him multiple touches. Now, in the past, and we saw this, it must have been 3 years ago up here, I think it was, with Travion, Michigan chose not to double in the post. They are a team that traditionally does not double in the post. That's Juwan Howard's NBA background there. They very rarely double in the post. So if indeed it ends up being a one-on-one game in the post, I like Zach Edey, and I like that matchup for Purdue tonight. But yeah, to your original thought there, it is nice to have a guy like Caleb first, you know, who's 6 foot 10 and 200 and whatever he is, 30, 35 pounds, who moves as well as he does. I mean, that allows you to do a lot of different things on the defensive end that can really benefit your team.
It's Rob Blackman with us. Before I let you go, Trey Kaufman-Wren, I look at him and I think, wow, this kid has a great deal of game, yet he hasn't shown it, and it's more times than not because he doesn't get that time to show it. I'm curious, what do you think about the evolution of his game so far? Is it kind of what you expected because of what is going to get the clock time in front of him, or is it disappointing and needs to get better at some point this year? What do you think?
Trey is in a tough spot because he's the primary backup for Zach Edey, and Zach Edey is not coming out of the game unless Zach Edey has to come out of the game. So Trey's in a tough spot. I mean, Zach's played over 30 minutes in, I think, 16 or 17 games this year. There just aren't a lot of minutes for Trey, which is unfortunate. Because the one game, John, he did have the opportunity, the New Orleans game, where Zach missed because he was sick, Trey had 24 points in that game. So he showed he's more than capable. If he just gets the opportunity to play some extended minutes, which he's just not going to get. That's just how it is. As long as Matt Painter likes to say, you know, when he takes Trey out of the game, I'm not taking you out. I'm putting Zach back in, right? There's a big difference here. You're not coming out of the game because of your lack of performance. You're coming out of the game because I have to get Zach Edey back on the floor because he's the best player right now in the country in a lot of people's eyes. So that's what it comes down to, Trey, for him. He just needs some more playing time, and unfortunately, there's not a lot to be found right now with the guy he's backing up. But I would say this, and again, I'll reference Monday night's Coach's Radio Show. Matt Painter said it, and I'll quote Matt. He said, Trey Kaufman Wren is going to be an all-conference player before he's done here at Purdue. So that's pretty high praise from the head ball coach. So obviously Matt's seeing something in practice that leads him to believe that when indeed that playing time does open up for Trey Kaufman Wren, that he's a guy that's not only going to be good enough to seize that playing time, but he's a guy that's going to be good enough to be one of the best low post players in our league.
Yeah, I think he's a talented dude too, and that just that comes with the territory of having a team like this, because there are a lot of guys that anywhere else would be getting that time that just aren't getting that time, and that's also a part of the juggling act, if you will, of trying to keep all these, I shouldn't say trying to keep all these guys happy, because ultimately it's up to them to keep themselves happy with this. I think Matt would be comfortable in saying that, but it is with this era and the way that it is now, it is a tough line to walk. There's no doubt.
Well, you know, Brandon Newman walked that line last year.
Yep.
He was Jaden Ivey's back. I mean, look, if you're Jaden Ivey's backup, you're not going to play very much. I mean, that guy's a top five NBA draft pick. He's a lottery pick. Obviously, if that's the guy that you're backing up, you're not going to play very much, which is what happened to Brandon Newman last year, and it's happening to Trey Kaufman Wren this year. That's, I guess, the downside or the upside, depending on how you want to look at it, to having a really talented team with a bunch of really talented players.
You've had to spend an awful lot of time in crappy Michigan here this week. That's unfortunate.
Oh, man. We drove up Tuesday night because we wanted to get out here ahead of the storm, and got up here like 11 p.m. Tuesday night.
Boy.
And then it snowed all day yesterday, and we drove through a snowstorm literally to get to Eastern Michigan to use their practice facility at Eastern Michigan.
Ypsilanti, baby. That's the pride of Michigan. That's the Michigan I know. Let's go to Ypsilanti.
So, yes, and now we wait around for a 9 o'clock game tonight. So it feels like here for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
to get this thing going here.
Yeah, and you're in Michigan too, which makes it I'm assuming even worse if it were me. So yeah, even worse.
See, I'm okay with Michigan.
Are you really? You like Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Really?
Oh, I can't stand it. No, I think I'd rather spend time in Kentucky.
Now, why the?
Because I'd be closer to my peeps down there. I think, you know, no indoor plumbing, no teeth, things like
negative?
That. That's closer
why
to my peeps.
I don't understand why the negative outlook.
I don't know. I mean, my family's tried to tell me all along, oh, you got to go there in the summer, New Buffalo or whatever it is. That's great.
Yeah,
it's just, it looks like the Caribbean. You can see to the bottom. And I said, it's not the Caribbean. Don't get fooled by that. It's in Michigan. It's not the Caribbean. All right.
Yeah, I've been to New Buffalo a couple times. I don't think I would compare it to the Caribbean. But it's a fine spot. It's nice.
Hey, sneak peek. When you get the opportunity, take in a couple of episodes of Euphoria, and then when you see me the next time, punch me right in the mouth because I told you to.
Yes. Okay. Right. Thank you. Thanks for the permission to punch you.
All right. Tell everybody up there I said hello. 9 p.m. the tip tonight. 8 o'clock is your pregame show, correct?
You're correct. We'll start at 8. Yes. Thank you.
You're going to be rocking like docking tonight up in Ann Arbor. I appreciate you, Rob.
Okay. See you, John.
So, Rob Blackman, Boilermaker Radio Network. Voice of the Boilers. On the Andy Moore Automotive Group hotline. Yeah, it looks just like the Caribbean. You can see all the way to the bottom, but it's Michigan.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Andy Moore Automotive Group Hotline. After a rookie season with the Colts, he is in the middle of an offseason right now, and he is wide receiver Alec Pierce of the Colts with us again on the Andy Moore Automotive Group Hotline. Alec, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I want to start with going back a little bit. Some things off the top of your head that you soaked up as a rookie, your first year, if you will, with the Colts at wide receiver.
Yeah, no, learned a lot of things, you know, had a great group of guys around, great coaching staff, you know, especially as a receiver, learn from guys like, you know, Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell, Ashton Doolin, and then, you know, having Reggie as our coach, just to learn a lot of, you know, small things you can do to get open in the league. You know, it all comes down to details and all stuff like that. So really just learn how to become a better route runner and like the things that I need to work on in the offseason to become better.
You know, a lot of us kind of wondered regarding Reggie. Great guy, no doubt about that. Played at such a tremendously high level. We kind of wondered, how should I put this, the type of patience he would have in, you know, teaching things and then seeing you guys, especially you as a rookie, learn things. How was he as a coach and that level of patience that it took to get you and your teammates at that position through things?
Yeah, no, he was great as a coach, and, you know, I think he definitely has the patience. He understands kind of how it goes. Just like with his path in the NFL, he had to kind of it took him a little time to get going because, you know, he understands, you know, you're a rookie, you got guys ahead of you. They're going to naturally be like the guys, you know. He had Marvin Harrison he was playing with. So, like, you know, you kind of got to sit and do everything you can to become as good of a player as you can, but a lot of times there might be a guy ahead of you. And you just got to, you know, try to do what you can to help the team win.
It's Alec Pierce, Colts wide receiver, coming off his rookie season with Panini cards. I want to get to that with you in just a second, as somebody I'm sure that has an ample card collection. As a rookie, when you go through a season like that, that obviously was disappointed, not what you wanted, does that make it more difficult for you to put your best foot forward and acclimate than if, you know, things were great and you were going through this season at a higher winning clip? How was that as a rookie with a team that obviously did not perform as what everybody wanted?
It definitely, you know, losing isn't what we go out to do. So it definitely takes a little bit of the, like, you know, the joy out of the game, because, you know, you work hard every week. You go in there and you're trying your best, you know, to prepare and have a good week of practice so you can go out there and win. And just, you know, when you go out there Sunday after Sunday and, you know, the result isn't what you wanted it to be, it takes a little bit of toll on you. And definitely kind of makes it harder to, you know, just come into work every day like excited, because, you know, you've been doing that same thing. But, you know, I'm optimistic about the future. I'm excited to see what happens this offseason and get back for another year.
Well, I was thinking about you in this case. I was thinking about you, Alec, in this case, too, because, I mean, the year prior especially, I mean, week after week, it was just like jovial in Cincinnati. You were celebrated. Right. Everything was going great. And then you kind of, you know, hit the wall and you're going through something that certainly was a little bit foreign to you as far as this losing clip. And that probably had to take a minute to get used to.
No, for sure. I mean, that's something I'd like never really gone through in my life. I don't know if I'd ever been on really like a losing team for any sport ever since I was a kid. So it was definitely something you had to adjust to, and just was something I was not used to.
How was Jeff Saturday as the head coach for you?
He was great. Jeff's a great leader. He was someone, you know, he got us really to practice really hard. I thought, like, once he came in, kind of just lit fire onto the team. Very passionate and a great leader of men. So that's what I think, you know.
Was there
Was
there a big difference between the style of Frank Reich, who was there and then was let go midseason, compared to what you got in the final portion of the season with Jeff?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a difference. You know, I think Jeff was definitely a little bit more like vocal and kind of like fiery, whereas, you know, Frank was a, like, you know, really nice guy, but a little more soft spoken, you know, and he was more of like a mind, I'd say, whereas Jeff, I'd say, was more of a, you know, kind of like fiery, like get you going type leader.
Alec Pierce, wide receiver with us. You allow yourself to watch what's going on in this coaching search, or do you sit back and just let those that are handling this handle this?
Yeah, I haven't really followed it too much. I mean, I see, like, on Twitter, Instagram, some post a guy that's been, but I feel like it's been a ton of guys, and I think I've lost track of all the cannons, and I've probably only seen, like, half of them come through. But, yeah, it seems like they're doing their due diligence, and I trust the people that are making the decision to make the right decision.
I think we've all kind of lost track of all the names here, too, a little bit. So there's no doubt there's definitely a lot. I love what you brought up about not being used to going through a season like that, too. Mm-hmm. That has to be for somebody on a winning level, on a winning clip like that, somebody like you that's had that much success, that has to be difficult to get used to. You don't want to get used to it, by the way, either, but go ahead.
Hopefully we don't get used to it. Yeah, and it was like, everyone says, oh, that first NFL year for you is going to feel long. Like, you're going to get to kind of, December. And that's in college when you're normally getting there and going into bowl game, whatever, and you're pretty much done with your season. It's like, and you still got, six games left. What probably for me made it feel long was the fact that, like, those six games, I think we've lost every one of them, right? So it was like, it just kind of, that definitely made the season feel longer, like the losing and stuff. So,
does that allow you to take a, and I'm talking about you individually here, Alec. Does that allow you to take a deeper dive, a deeper look into your individual performance than you would, say, if you came away with the game and, not so much had a high level of success for you individually, but your team was having success? Do you look inside yourself a little bit more, look at yourself in the mirror more when things as a team isn't going well?
Yeah, no doubt. I think because a lot of times, your team gets a win and you might not play the best, but you're like, oh, like everyone's right. Happy. People aren't really, diving into that film probably as much as they would be. But then when you lose, like, people become more critical and they really look into it, like the coaching staff and all that. So you're definitely going to know, like when you're losing, you're definitely going to be more, I'd say, critical on your own performance because you're like, oh, like, maybe if I would have just, made this catch here, like we would have won the game or something like that. So it definitely, I think, as long as you don't tear yourself up about it, I think it can make you better.
So Alec Pierce, who was with us, so what's your off-season plan here?
Yeah, so I'm going to go, I'm going to get back to training here in a couple weeks and go down to Tampa. But right now I'm out in Los Angeles.
You're out there with Panini, aren't you, right now?
Yeah, Panini had us out here doing autograph signings and stuff, so. Getting a little weekend, seeing a bunch of guys I haven't seen since, like, the summer.
Who's out there with you?
It's, like, 30 other rookies, I think. So a bunch of the other guys. It's good to see my college teammates, Ma Gardner and Des Ritter. So it's good to run into those guys.
You call him Sauce?
Yeah, I'll call him Sauce now. Like, yeah, I think he's earned it. I didn't call him that in college, though. So.
Did you ever have his sauce from Buffalo Wild Wings? You ever try that?
I actually haven't. I need to try it. Yeah. Is it still out or is it like a limited time thing?
I see. I did a thing every Monday at Buffalo Wild Wings here and around Indy, and it was out there. Yeah. I don't know if the football season for you guys is over. It's good. But, I mean, really, most of the time you could, put some of that sauce in an old shoe. It probably would be good. You know what I mean? I'm not suggesting it's not good, but it doesn't take greatness to be good. It's good. Yes, it's good.
Yeah.
That kind of sounded like a jackass answer. My bad. That wasn't good. So are you a card collector?
I wouldn't say as much currently, but I think I was just talking with some of the Panini workers here, while signing some things. And, like, I had 3 binders of cards, and it was, I had them sorted out by football, basketball, and baseball from growing up. So, he was telling me all the things to look for. He said, go back and look and see if you got, like, any, like, Mike Trout rookie cards or like, Steph Curry rookie cards, stuff like that. Because so I'm going to have to, when I get home, because it was back at my parents' house, I found them. I'm going to have to go look through those things.
Yeah, Panini are the playing cards, and you can get one with Alec Pierce, obviously, too, and they have them on sale at Walmart, at Target, hobby stores nationwide for you. You can check it out at PaniniAmerica.net. What was your reaction the first time you saw yourself on a card?
That was pretty cool to see. It was like definitely being something that I grew up collecting. It's really cool to see something like myself on those cards because that was something I would have opened up as a kid and been like thought was pretty cool. So yeah, it's definitely really really cool experience.
They take pictures of us here, and every time I get one done, I look back and I go, good Lord, why are you so fat? I just find like 9 different reasons why I hate this picture. You ever go, wait a minute, this wasn't like, there's a better shot going on of me than this one right here when you saw yourself?
You always like find something in the picture, but then next, someone else like will look at it and like, oh, it's a good picture, you know? So I mean, it's just everyone's critical on themselves, right?
Yeah, I can't stand any of the pictures around here. I think they use the pictures of me from like I was 12 here because I can't stand any of the ones around here. Alec Pierce is with us. How long are you going to be out in L.A. with Panini?
Oh, we're out here till Saturday. So we're going to it's also an event with the NFLPA.
Yeah.
And we're going to they got us going to the Clippers game. I think we're in like a suite tonight, so that'd be fun. Good to see.
Oh, you're going tonight to the Clipper game?
Clippers, yeah, Clippers Spurs, I believe.
Ah, man. Well done out of you. That's a good time out in L.A. Now, you're going to train in Tampa. Are you going to be back in Indy any point in time, or are you going to be out of town during the offseason?
I think we're going to be back pretty early for OTAs, which having a new coach. So I think like starting April, we'll be back. So I really just got like a month out, and then I'm going down to Tampa and then get some good weather. Can't really run routes out on the grass field in Indy, right?
I don't know. It snowed. It was supposed to snow like 8 or so inches here. We got like 3.5 or something. So, yeah, I mean, you dealt with that when you were in Cincy, too. They would always predict heavy snow, and you guys hardly got anything because it's Cincinnati, right? So,
right.
Normally how it goes. Hey, baseball-wise, are you more of a Cubs or White Sox guy or a Reds guy?
I'm a Cubs guy. I grew up in kind of Chicago area, so I was a Cubs fan. It was great to see them. You know, I honestly haven't been as big of a fan ever since they won the World Series. I was a big fan of them, and I think just once they won the World Series, I kind of was like, all right, the mission's accomplished, and I haven't, like, followed them as much. But growing up, I definitely watched a lot of Cubs games. I'm which I guess, you know, Indianapolis, they don't have a team, so that's – a lot of people are probably Cubs fans, right?
Well, I'm a Reds fan, which is not good because they suck. Yeah, I hate the Cardinals. Can't stand the Cardinals. Yeah. But the Cubs, I was going to tell you that our friend Tucker Barnhart, who was with the Reds as a catcher once upon a time, is now the Cubs catcher. So he is going to be on the north side, and he is from Brownsburg here locally around Indianapolis, and he is a friend of the show and possibly listening right now. So we'll have to get the hookup one of these days and head out to a Cubs game with our friends Tucker Barnhart. And it's going to be – it's begrudgingly for me. I hate the song Go Cubs Go. It's like the worst thing ever. I hate it.
I can see what you said, yeah.
But I will now soak it up because Tucker is a part of that. Did you grow up a Bears fan outside of Chicago?
No, I actually grew up a Packers fan.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. My dad's side of family's from Wisconsin, so they got me up to Lambeau when I was young. I was a Packers fan ever since.
You're hooked on that, too. So you probably hate the Bears then, right? That's weird being, I think, in the – is it – well, maybe it's not. Is that weird in your head?
So, I mean, yeah, because obviously the Bears fans and Packers fans don't get along too well, but I had a decent amount of my friends. Like, there was a couple – I had a couple friends growing up that were Packers fans also, but then the majority were Bears fans. But the Packers, you know, for the vast majority of my life were always better than the Bears. So, it was usually, you know, good to be a Packers fan rather than Bears.
See, when I grew up here, the Colts just got here. I was 14 in 1984. The Colts got here, and I was an established Bears fan. So I was a huge Bears fan in 1985 when they lost one game to Miami and then won Super Bowl 20 with the Monsters of the Midway. That was a hell of a time to be a Bears fan back then.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard stories about that. It was the glory days. They still talk about them, the Bears fans. That's like their...
Yeah,
kind of all they got, right?
There's not much else to grasp. So, no doubt. Hey, awesome conversation. And again, I want to remind folks to get the card of Alec Pierce here in just an incredible, I'm assuming, motion kind of pass-catching situation. I haven't seen it yet. Is it pretty awesome?
We got a bunch of different ones. Yeah,
okay.
I don't even know which ones they'll get, but they'll get something with a picture of me on it.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not one where you're getting tackled or something right there. I hope you're like running through a tackle or something.
Usually catching or running with the ball. I think they just showed me one. I don't know if they must have just got them printed out, but they had one of my my touchdown catch against Jacksonville, like the game when they had in the end zone. Yeah, so that was a pretty cool one they showed me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll check that out again. Panini is the card company. Walmart, Target, hobby stores nationwide. You can check it out at PaniniAmerica.net. He is formerly Colts rookie, going into year number two this year at wide receiver for the Colts, Alec Pierce. Man, fantastic conversation. Enjoy your time in Southern California. And, man, look us up sometime. And if you want to get to that Cubs game, I think we got a catcher that can get us to a Cubs game. So you let us know.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Alec. Thank you, man. Alec Pierce right there on the Andy Moore Automotive Group hotline. Good dude.
Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.